Okay. Yeah. So the topic for the shiur tonight is the idea of the nisim of Moshe Rabbeinu. The idea of nisim shenase lavasina yide Moshe Rabbeinu. And I just want to start with a point which I'm hoping we can try to work out and try to explore, which is the way the Rambam he speaks about the mitzvah of the Higat Levincha, the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So he says an interesting thing. He says that when it comes to it's not on the sheet. We'll get to the sheet in a minute. But the Rambam that I'm speaking about now is in the Mishneh Torah when he describes the mitzvah saseh of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So he says that if the katan, right, if your son is a tipesh, so the way he describes the mitzvah, he says is that you tell him, kulanu hainu avadim, kemo shivcha zu, o kemo eved zeb mitzrayim, uvelayla hazeh pado tanu hakadosh baruch hu v'yoseinu l'cheirus. So you tell the ben who's a tipesh, you tell him, you give him over, you tell him that, you give him an example, you say, we were avadim, like this shivcha or like this eved, and you tell him that how HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us and took us out, and he brought us to freedom. But he says that if the son is a gadol and he's a chacham, so he says modio, you tell him about mashiir lanu b'mitzrayim v'nisim shenase lanu ayidei Moshe Rabbeinu. So the interesting point there is that what the Rambam says is that if the son is a chacham, you don't just tell him about the nisim, but you tell him that the nisim were done ayde Moshe Rabbeinu. But the son who's the regular son, who's the tipesh, the one who's not the chacham, so he doesn't mention anything about the idea of nisim that are done ayde Moshe Rabbeinu. So I wanted to try to explore tonight this concept of what exactly does it mean, nisim shenase lanu ayde Moshe Rabbeinu. And try to understand why the Rambam says that if the son is a chacham, we tell him that about the concept of nisim that are done ayidei Moshe Rabbeinu. But if the son's not a chacham, then he leaves that out. So to try to understand and try to get into explore this idea, I wanted to do to take a look at the last psukim, which I gave out in the sheet. The last psukim at the end of Sefer Dvarim, and to take a look at a Ramban on these last three psukim. So it's Perek Lamed Daled, and it begins there with Pasuk Yud, and it goes. It's really these three psukim. The Torah says, "V'lo kam navi od b'Yisrael kimosha." So he says, the Torah says, "There will never be another navi again in Yisrael like Moshe, Ashur Yedo Hashem panim el panim, that had knowledge that will know God directly face to face." L'chola osos v'hamosim. Asher shalchu Hashem lasus beretz Mitzrayim, lefaro ulachol avadav ulachol artzo. And all the miracles, all the signs and the wonders that he was sent to do, that God sent him to do in Mitzrayim, to Paro and to his servants and to the land. Ulachol ayar hazaka ulachol hamora hagadol, asher asa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael. And the yar hazaka, and the Mora Gadol, the great Yad Chazaka, the strong hand and the great fear that Moshe did in the eyes of Bnei Israel. So it's interesting, just looking at this at these psukim, we can note a couple of things, right? Just looking first of all at the first pasuk, a comparison is being made between Moshe and all other Nevi'im that will come afterwards, right? In other words, Moshe knew Hashem directly, panim el panim, and there'll never be another Navi like Moshe. And then Yud Aleph and Yud Bet continue, and it tells us about the Osos and Mosim, right? The different types of Nisim that he was sent to do in Mitzrayim, and then the Yad Chazak and the Mor Gadol that he did in the eyes of Bnei Israel. So I just want to just start with a question. If you look at Pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Bet, right, and we would say, just taking it in terms of pshat, the nisim that are done, maybe just take a step back and say, what exactly does Yad Chazaka mean? And what's Mor Gadol? What would you say? What do you think the pshat is? Yachazak and Mora Gadol. I mean, let's take a step back. We'll go Yud Aleph. Osus and Mosim would probably refer to what? Right, probably the Makos and the Nisa that happened in Mitzrayim. So what's Yad Chazaka and Mora Gadol?
Yamsuf.
Okay, good. So let's say Yad Chazaka is Yamsuf, right? Okay, and what's Mora Gadol? Okay, it's not clear, but that's what they're right. The Ramban says it's Har Sinai. So in Yud Aleph, it's referencing the miracles and the Nisim that he did in Mitzrayim. But in Yud Bet, it's talking about Kriyas Yamsuf and Har Sinai, right? So, just that in terms of that, if we look at Pasuk Yud Bet and we would say, what exactly is it telling us? That Kriyas Yamsuf and Har Sinai is saying Asher Asa Moshe Leinei Yisrael. So, what does that mean that Moshe did them? Right? What exactly does that mean? So, I would like to just start off and ask. Just two questions. The first question I would just ask is, I think the most basic question is, what does it mean to say that Moshe did them? Right? What does it mean to say that Moshe did Kriyas Yamsuf, or that Moshe performed Har Sinai? Right? Just what exactly does that mean? And the second question, a little bit different type of a question, but similar, is that we read a pasuk at the Seder, which is fairly similar, which comes from the Arami Ovid Avi, right? And that's in Kisavo. So almost difference we'll see in a minute, but all of this, pretty much the same terms are brought in there. We say, Vayotzienu Hashem b'Mitzrayim. This is the pasuk that we read in the Haggadah when we do the Arami Ovid Avi. Vayotzienu Hashem b'Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. B'yad Chazaka uvizroa netuya. Umora gadol va'osus umosim, right? So pretty much all of the same terms appear again. Zroa netuya, mora gadol, osus and mosim. There we say v'yoseinu Hashem in Mitzrayim, right? And when we read it and when we talk about it in the Haggadah, we say lo ayide malach v'lo ayide shliach, right? We say elah hakadosh baruch hu v'asma b'chvodo. So the second question I just wanted to ask is that it would seem to be, how do you reconcile those two psukim? On the one hand, you have a pasuk that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, Osus Mosim, Yad Chazaka Mora Gadol, and there's no mention of Moshe. And in fact, that's exactly what when we read it in the Haggadah, we qualify it and we say, Lo Ayadei Shliach, Lo Ayadei Malach. And yet here, when we read the at the very end of the Torah, we're attributing Osus and Mosim, Yad Chazaka Mora Gadol, to Moshe. Right. So how does that... How can we reconcile? I mean, it would seem to be, how do you work out a contradiction like that? Do we attribute these things to Moshe, or do we purely say that these things are all attributable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any messenger, without any shliach? And again, to go back to the first question, is what does it mean to say that Moshe did these things? Right. So those are the two questions I wanted to start with.
Just a factual question to understand. The whole Osus Moshe doesn't say that Moshe did those. It's only the
Yad Chazaka
and Mora Gadol, no?
Yad Chazaka Mora Gadol, it says Asher Asa Moshe. But Osus and Mosim, it says Shalcho Hashem La Asos. So it seems like it's saying he was sent to do them also. He was sent to do them, right?
I see. So we say, well, it's specifically a reference to everything.
Well, it seems like it's a reference, it certainly is a reference to Makos Bechoros, but it seems like it's a reference to other Makos as well. But like, for example, Yad Chazaka, so one explanation is that it's Yamsuf, but the Ramban brings the Sifri that says it's Makos Bechoros. So unless I'm going to say that they're arguing, and the Sifri says Makos Bechoros was done only, it was done with Moshe, and then the Baal HaGadah is saying, it's going to sound strange that they're arguing about that. So those are the first questions I just wanted to start off with. Any thoughts, any explanations? How would you approach either one of these questions? Meaning, what does it mean to say that Moshe performed these things? And what does it mean, how do we reconcile the fact that in one place we attribute all of these things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that yet here we're attributing these things to Moshe?
Well, the nes was performed by Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it was performed through Moshe, right?
Okay. So what does that mean?
As in, the nes had an action associated with it, like where dung or the water, where they hit the water, right? And God turned the water to blood, but the action of the nes was done by, well, in that case, it was Aaron, but I'm saying it was done by Moshe.
Okay, so the action is done by the Navi, let's say by Moshe or by Aaron,
yeah.
But what part is done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
The change, the nes itself.
Uh-huh. And is the change that's taking place all attributable to that one action?
What do you mean?
I'm saying, meaning, I guess by Dam maybe you could look at it, but I'm saying, like, for example, what would we say by Yamsuf? Are you going to say that it was the one action that Moshe did that set everything into motion?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to see how does that work. Is it really that specific action that's making the whole, you know, the whole nes take effect? But you're right. There is an action. You're right. There are actions associated that it seems to be that the Navi does. But can we attribute the whole mak or the whole nes just to that one action? I guess I would ask you, right?
Yeah.
Are you understanding Asher Yadav Hashem Panim
Panim? Well, I think in the most general terms, I mean, it seems that the pasuk there is talking about the great level of knowledge that Moshe had. Because that's one of the examples that when the Rambam separates in Yesodos and Ikarim, so he says that Moshe's Nebuah, right, was different than all other Nevi'im, and he gives the differences, right, the four differences. So Panim El Panim is one of the references, one of the points that shows us that his knowledge was different than other Nevi'im. You know, the more direct, more, you know, a direct level of communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
And meaning, while he's awake?
Well, that's one way in which it's more direct. That's one of the, you know, I mean, that's one of the aspects, one of the things that he gives, one of the four things that he's awake. We could look and we can see which ones he links to different references in the psukim. But Panim El Panim is one. The Parshin Bahalos, and you know, by Miriam and Bahalos Chav there, he you know, he has another one from there. I think Al Yavo B'Cholei Sala Kodesh, he learns from there. It was any time. But in general, I mean, it's a good question why, you know, the significance of that specific phrase, but it seems to point to the idea of Moshe's, his high, you know, his great level of knowledge that he had.
Yes, yeah, so just on the Panim, I guess the focus could be at the bottom line where we're trying to establish Moshe's veracity and Moshe's position from the perception of the Israel, so that we'll look at, from the perspective of the Israel, looking at Moshe, what was his involvement as far as the other miracles and using the flow? So they will look at his centrality and his primacy in those areas. When it's focused on the Baal HaGadol perspective, when it focuses on not necessarily establishing Moshe's credentials, if you will, or his establishment as a Navi, then when and focus is more about just the celebration and recognition of the using the flow, so the actual results, so the perspective is different. So there, Moshe's involvement is less. Less important, right? I think.
Saying meaning that the Haggadah is not focusing on Moshe's involvement. That's because.
Right. Because they were just focusing on the end result, i.e., the recent flows that were utilized to take us out. That's right. That's the nes, the end result that we're free. So Moshe's involvement and his primacy is secondary, as opposed to what we're talking about establishing will come up, what we saw to Moshe after he had Hashem putting upon him. Then his role in the nes and the flows, there that's more relevant so far as that analysis.
Okay, but I guess I would. Could we say that the nesim are not ayadei shliach, and at the same time say over here that Moshe is performing them?
You're saying just factually.
I'm saying is that we're reading at the Haggadah, we're saying v'yaseinu Hashem in Mitzrayim, and He took us out, and we're saying lo ayadei shliach, lo ayadei in a malach. And yet here we seem to be attributing to him, them to him. All right, how does that?
What you're saying is that In other words, in terms of the nace itself, really it's attributable to
HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's just that the Moshe was a vehicle for the nace itself, but it's not that Moshe could have been responsible for the nace. In other words, really, it originated and its source of existence is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Right.
But he utilized, he wanted to bring forth a separate institution of Nevuas Moshe to be brought to the world, to Kali Yisrael, to the Mitzrayim, and that's the vehicle he utilized to bring forth the Nes. But the Nes itself is purely Lo Yideh Shliach. In other words, Lo Yideh Shliach in the framework of the Nes itself. But there's a separate thing that he wanted to bring forth, that God wanted to bring forth, and that is a Navi.
So the first part I understand you're saying is that the nace itself is all stems and comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not Ayudei Moshe. But what's Moshe's role? What does he do in terms of the nace?
I guess he wanted to utilize the vehicle of the Navi to implement into the world, to like you were saying, to authenticate Nebuah in the world in the implementation of the nace. But the nace itself is not from Moshe. That you're using that mechanism to bring forth a separate institution of Nebuah.
Okay. So in other words, there are two things, meaning you're saying basically that Moshe is there just in the purpose for Nebuah.
Correct.
To show that Nebuah is real.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
I think that's
what you're saying. Yeah, or we'll look at it and we'll attribute...
You mean two things are happening. The nace itself is happening from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you mean the fact that Moshe is predicting it and then it's happening is now showing everybody that Nebuah is real.
Exactly.
That makes sense, but it seems still a little bit strange that the pasuk is attributing Yad Chazak and Mor Gadol, and it's saying that Asher Asa Moshe, right? According to what we're saying now, Moshe didn't do any of these things. It was just his prediction through his nevuah prior to them validates his nevuah, but he is in no way doing them.
He's doing them in terms of
predicting them.
He's manifesting nevuah. He's manifesting his nevuah by fulfilling the God's will.
Yeah, but not the
opposite. Right, but again, I guess it just seems, a little bit difficult to understand what it means, Asher Asa Moshe, that he's doing these things.
He defined the Yom Tov and the Mor Gadol as Yom Tov and Har Sinai.
Right.
So in those two in specific, Moshe's involvement, per se, from the perspective of Bnei Israel, is much more than simply kicking off or initiating an act that led to a Makkah. So there, from the Ainiful Israel perspective, his role in Har Sinai and Kriyas Yamzum was much greater. So you can attribute Asher Asa.
Okay. But I guess I'm still asking you, what's his role? I mean, that's, I guess, sort of trying to define a little bit clearer. What's his role, and in what sense you can say that he did it? That's what I'm trying to get at a little bit more. Right. So he's right. So he's playing a leadership role, and what's his role there exactly? To do what?
To ensure that people know that this miracle is from God. And don't attribute it to
Okay, good. Okay, good. You mean in other words, if they just see the miracle without him, then they may not approach it the right way, or they may not look at it. They may not get this what they're supposed to get out of it. Yeah. He somehow is there to show them what to get from it. Right? Okay, good. Very good. Yeah.
How does it mean that he's doing it?
What's that?
I didn't mean that he's doing it. Doing the miracle.
That's a good... You mean you're still saying that that's not doing it?
He's explaining it. Sure.
Explaining it isn't doing it.
I assume not. Could be that's what I saw.
Okay.
Yeah. Most of the novels were constructed that there was some familiarity with myself. And it looks like some kind of cause effect that this might say that the mouth of solid thing is causing the mouth itself. Obviously, physically, there's no reason for that in nature, but it looks like you can associate it. Moshe Rabbeinu's cause. It's sort of like an illusion. In the sense, it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu is the direct cause of this problem. So, even if you say really, there's no cause, it just happened to be from Moshe and some mice important. It looks as if Moshe is the one bringing it up.
But that's not really what's happening.
Well, you can't say that his action actually causes it. There's not even physical that would make his action bring it up.
So isn't that's not a good thing, though, meaning that's giving the people a false understanding.
Well, in a sense, but that is the method, that's what they're saying, the generalizing is nothing. meaning if he didn't do anything, you could say that he should figure out now that you know, so there's some sort of miracles going on, and he's just figure out now that I'm saying you're claiming legitimacy, but showing that they're really associated with his you know, his leadership. That's what he's doing. It's not so in a sense it looks to him. But
even so, doesn't it seem strange that every time it's always to prove his nebuah? That every, you know what I mean? Every time a nis is happening, he needs to keep being there to validate him as a Navi? Right? I mean, that's that also isn't so clear why. I mean, how many times is he going to be validated? Also, then we end up saying really that the only real validation we know for his nebuah is Har Sinai. The Rambam says that the miracles beforehand weren't really to validate him. That was just really, you know, it was all, they said that B'kishu B'lech, what does the Rambam say there in the Mishnah Torah? He says that they never really had true emunah in him because they would always look at it and say, maybe it was done this way, but it wasn't until Har Sinai that he was really validated. That's another issue, too. It's not so clear that that the Nisim should have been validating him. I think he says that they weren't really validating him.
How are you translating the cult?
Right. What does it mean? Ulachol hayad hazaka. Ulachol hamor hagadol. Right. You mean all of the yad hazaka. I mean, but what does that mean?
All of the
right.
The entire.
Okay. So I think I'm going to try to talk about that. Right.
But the fact that it's a sure shalakho or Hashem, it's still that idea of being
shliach. Right. That's a good point. I mean, you're right. That's interesting that in Yud Aleph there, it's the idea he's shliach Hashem la'asos. And in Yud Bet, he's not. The only thing is, I'm not sure, how would you read that? Would you read Yud Bet as a continuation of Yud Aleph? Would you say that when he's shliach Hashem la'asos, this, and this, right? And then Yud Bet continues. What do you think about that? I mean, that's not. You know what I'm saying? Shliach Hashem to do these things, and then Yud Bet's a continuation. So I'm not sure if the Shliach Hashem Lasos is only on what's in Yud Aleph. It could be that it's continuing to what's in Yud Bet. Right? But it's a good point you're making. You're right. I mean, it does only sit in Yud Aleph, but I would think that Yud Bet's a continuation. So I'd like to just take a look at this Ramban. It's a small, short Ramban. But within a few sentences, I think that there's a lot there, it's actually the last Ramban on the Torah. So he really deals with this issue of what exactly is Asa. It says V'tam Asher Asa Moshe. He says Sheheichin v'hera zel le'enei kol ha'am. Heichin meaning that he was heichin, he prepares it and shows it to the eyes of the people, kiloshon v'sanefesh asher asu v'charon, v'yimahar lasos oso. He brings three examples of the word asiyah. He says v'sanefesh asher asu v'charon, v'yimahar lasos oso, and lasos is a yom haShabbos. Ki Moshe lo asa hayad hazaka v'hamor gadol. He's saying that Moshe did not do the yad hazaka and the mor gadol. He didn't make them. Rak heichin oso, but he prepared them. Uva avuro naasu le'enei kol Yisrael. So we want to try to understand this Ramban. What's the Ramban saying? First of all, what does he mean by the word heichin? And heichin beherazeh? What does he mean that he prepared them? And the Ramban clearly is saying asa doesn't mean literally he did it, because he's saying velo asa, but he was heichin. So what does it mean he was heichin? And then the examples that he gives, it's interesting, he gives us three examples, right? So what can we get from the examples that he's trying to show? What's the point that he's trying to make with these examples? He's using three examples where the word what? What's appearing in the word in these three examples? So it's asa in three different places, right? But is there a common idea in the way asa is being used in those three places that we can derive, derive from the word, the way the word is being used? So, like to take for example, as a nefesh asher asu v'charon, right? What does that mean? That's by Abraham. So that's saying Abraham and Sarah, right? The nefesh asher siva Haran, the souls that they made in Haran. So what does that mean, the souls that they made in Haran?
It was the people. They converted to, this is what Ramban said there, right? It was the people that they converted to monotheism.
Right, so what does it mean? So they, what's the Ramban, what does it mean to say that he made them, that they made them? Right? What's that? He changed them, right? In other words, it would seem to be that these are examples where the Ramban is showing you that asiya isn't a physical thing to say that you make it, but you take something that already exists and you bring it to its potential. You actualize it, you realize it. So the nefesh asher asu v'charan, these were people. What did Avram and Sarah do? Through their teaching, through their education, through being melamed them, they brought them to their potential. They brought them to be actual, to be realized, to be right, to come to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lasus is Yom HaShabbos, so we don't make Shabbos, right? Shabbos already exists from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He creates it. But by our lasus, by our observance of it, so then we're bringing it to its potential. Right? A similar type of thing would seem also by Maher Lasos Oso. That's talking there about the animal, about the preparation of the food. That they prepared it, that they cooked it, that they brought it, they got it ready. So if we take these examples, perhaps we could say like this, we could put together and say that the Ramban showing us that the term asa, right, by Yas or the Asiya, isn't to actually make it or to do it, but it's to take something that exists and to actualize it, to realize it, to bring it to its potential. What would it therefore mean to say that he was the Herazel Eine Kol Ha'am, that he showed it to the people, or that he prepared it, Heichen, he prepared the Nes? Just to suggest the following is that through Moshe's leadership, right, like you were saying, but through his teaching and through his instruction, prior to the Nes, he showed the people, he instructed them on what to see in terms of how to understand what was occurring. So the Nes itself is just, it's a physical phenomenon. And without any instruction, without any understanding, a person could look at it and see it, and they could think all kinds of things. But it was through Moshe's great role in terms of being a leader and an educator and being a Rav, a Rebbe to the people, that he showed them Hashkachas Hashem and ideas in terms of Yediyas Hashem, and he instructed them so that when they saw the Nes, they understood what the meaning was of the Nes. So the Heichen that the Ramban is saying, Heichen Vehera, means he prepared, the in a sense, the people, or he prepared them with the understanding so that when they would see the actual Nes, they would understand what was really the meaning of it, right? In terms of understanding Hashem's involvement and Hashkacha, what different ideas in terms of what was happening, what was taking place. So we look to go back and take a look at the pasuk. The way the Ramban, the way it reads, it's the Yad Chazaka and the Mor Gadol Asher Asa Moshe Le'enei Kol Yisrael, right? Meaning to say that first of all that it's he made it in the sense that through his teaching and through his explaining to them and instruction, he showed them what to see and how to understand what was taking place. Now it's also interesting because Yad Chazaka and Mor Gadol aren't the actual terms for the Nes themselves, meaning the Torah could have referred to the Kriyas Yam Suf, let's say, or the Har Sinai itself. So what's the significance of referring to these terms, right? So perhaps we could say in line with what the Ramban is saying is that these are already terms in explaining their perception of it, right? Meaning he showed them how to see the Yad Chazaka in the Nes. Right, he instructed them and he taught them in such a way that they experienced the Mamid Har Sinai and they saw, they understood the Mor Gadol. Right, the Torah didn't use the terms for the events themselves. The Torah took terms; it picked terms that were, to describe their perception, their understanding, what they were supposed to learn from the events. In that sense, Moshe did it. Right, in that sense, he performed them. So he performed the Yad Chazak and the Mor Gadol means to say that he brought them to be able to realize and understand these ideas from the Nisim. In that sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed the Nisim, but it was Moshe's role as the teacher and the educator to instruct them so that they would be able to have this perception of what was occurring. That was basically the greatness there in terms of the of what he did.
message behind each mace as it occurred?
Correct. Correct.
It could be afterwards also.
I don't, right. Right. I don't know necessarily if it has to be prior to the event or during the event or after the event, but the point was that the event as a whole had to, you know, they had to understand it on a much deeper level than just the physical event that was taking place. That was his job. But the Torah is saying us in the sense that it's attributing it to them, because what's the event itself without the limud and the instruction and the understanding in terms of how to perceive it? So it was through that that they experienced the event and they really understood it in this way. In that sense, he performed it. He did it. Right.
He's saying because he was able to teach them, that's why they were allowed, so to speak, allowed to have that miracle?
So that's a good question. Does it mean because it was only because of him that miracle could have taken place? It sounds like it's saying only because he existed that miracle could have taken place, right? I mean, if there wasn't a person like him to be able to teach and to explain it to them on their level in terms of what to understand, then that miracle couldn't have been there. And that's part of why it's his miracle. Right. Right. That's right. That's another point that the Ramban, he adds when he comes to Uvavuro, it's only through him.
Wow.
Correct. Right.
I mean, theoretically, could have on the beam down the road, we could have the same ability to explain the Nisim.
No.
Why?
No, not really. I'm not sure.
I understand. In terms of the point that Rashim will bring out of explaining the Chacham of the Nes,
make a little prediction.
I understand, but theoretically, what's
predicted? Just look over there and see about the split.
In other words, if you bring out the Chacham of the Nes, you theoretically could have on the beam that could have done this. Yeah. Maybe not
on level.
Not these Nisim, because the Nisim only happened once. But I'm saying other Nisim, there could have been deep Chachma in the Nisim, that nobody could have unraveled Chachma and seen, shown Christ or other levels of Chachma in the Nes. I mean, these Nisim by themselves were extremely earth-shattering and dramatic, but there apparently was in the deeper level.
Right, so we're going to... So 1 second. So just, I think I'd like to, if we can in a minute, talk about the other Nevi'im and the difference between them in one minute.
Wait,
but just before we go any further, just any points about the Ramban. I mean, I don't know if, you know, I can't tell, you can tell me how you feel, but my opinion when I worked through and thought about the Ramban, I think it's an amazing thing in just 3-4 lines of what he does. He basically takes the word asa, tells you that it doesn't really mean asa, but shows you that it means something deeper than what you would think it means. And he does it in an amazing way because he shows you these different examples where the word, you know, asa is always being used in a different sense, not in the simple sense of, oh, you know, you made it, you did it. So within a few words and within his you know, the sukkim that he brings, he gives us such a deeper level of understanding of what the pasuk is saying.
You're saying he doesn't refer to, like, the actions of Moshe Rabbeinu did, like hitting the water or throwing the Yamta Kibshan, where he is, but not that them as causes, but them, those actions as instructional tools to help them appreciate the ideas.
Right, that's a good question, is what is the role of the specific action, right? Is the role of the specific action... It would seem, I guess, that the action itself wouldn't be very meaningful if there wasn't instruction and limud and all of that going on as well. Does the action now point to the instruction and to the limud, or it somehow is tied in? That's probably a good question to kind of further pursue, to see what the actions are, but, you know, and to see how that relates to the to that part of it.
Right, but you're simply drawing by and saying it doesn't mean...
His action is causing it.
There's nothing about the laws of nature that somehow causes it. Why causing it? There's no law that any of the water causes the sweat or whatever.
Right, and it's hard to see how, in any kind of sense, that one action is causing things to happen all over the place. I mean, it's all over the country. It seems difficult. It's more in terms of people's perception, but then
directing their minds
towards certain things that he's teaching them and he's showing them. And now with that, they're able to perceive it and understand it in a certain way.
Maybe Moshe didn't do the action directly towards God. Someone someone else would have maybe taken responsibility, given the responsibility to something or someone.
Right. Right, could be that with the instruction, with the teaching, now comes that his action now is referring back to that. The bavuro, because the Ramban says first he says that he prepared the nes, right, and then he quotes the psukim, but then he goes back at the end and he says uvavuro, he says that. He says, because at first he says, "Vayamar lasos," said lasos hechen v'hera, and he gives the psukim. But then he says, "Rakechen oso uvavuro nasu." So the vavuro sounds as if to say he's adding a point, not just that he prepared and that he instructed and showed the people what to see, but uvavuro means through him, as if to say that no other individual would have been able to do that. That it was part of his greatness because of his level of knowledge that he was able to show the people how to instruct them and teach them and get them, you know, ready to be able to understand what was taking place. Right. The psukim that these psukim at the end, right, that we're looking at dvarim, if you're taking the term yad chazaka, I mean, that's what I'm saying, it could be kriyas yamsuf, but the Ramban also says that there's a pshat that refers to makas b'choros. So, according to the Sifri, yad chazaka is also, right, is makas b'choros, is also being attributed to Moshe. So that's why I'm saying this, is that we would understand what the Haggadah is saying and what these psukim are saying as follows. We would say that the Haggadah is speaking about the change in nature, the physical event, the phenomenon that's taking place. That's only caused by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But here it's talking about Moshe as being a Malamed and as a teacher, the perception that he's creating in the people, that in that, in the sense that he instructed them and taught them how to perceive it, so that in that sense, it's being attributable to him what's taking place. I mean, by Makas Bechoros, I don't think there's anything that describes Moshe's doing them, no.
So why would they specifically? I mean, because he didn't get it in general that Moshe didn't mean them. But if you look at Makas Bechoros, they didn't say Moshe didn't do them.
Right, or right, but look. Right.
Meaning, if you say one place talking about, you know, the previous example is Moshe Rabbeinu did that, Moshe Rabbeinu did it, and then it says, no, it's really me, Hashem did it.
Right.
You know, and then the Magus of course, I mean, it's just not consistent.
Right, so how to work out the inconsistency? So that's what I'm saying is that it's like, in the nes, look at it from two. There's two parts or two things that are happening. There's the event that's taking place in the physical world, the change of nature that's taking place, right? The uprooting of the law of nature. However you're understanding the nes, there's a phenomenon that's taking place in the physical world that should only be attributed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to an individual, not to a human being. But the role of Moshe is specifically to teach and to instruct the people on what the meaning of it is in terms of hashkacha, how to perceive it, how to understand it. In other words, what are they supposed to learn from the event in terms of hashkacha Hashem? That's his role. But that's part and parcel, that's almost like part of the very objective of the Nes itself, is to instruct and to teach certain ideas to the people. So with him doing that, right, that in that sense, he's doing it, right? He's causing it because he's causing the people to understand it.
He's
teaching and explaining to them what's happening so that they have a perception of the Yad
Chazaka. Mm-hmm. So why wasn't it necessary for the Pasuk to say Moshe as a Torah?
Why doesn't the Pasuk over there and by the events?
Yeah.
Because that's the Pasukim over there that's not what their focus is. The focus there is on the event specifically that's taking place in, I mean, in certain cases, it does show Moshe's involvement. right? I mean, in certain places, it does point out Moshe's involvement. But that's not, you know, I mean, it seems like that's what these psukim here are trying to point out.
Rabbi?
Yes.
So a point and a question. So in terms of what you're saying, that Moshe is necessary, so maybe we can extrapolate that that's always why you need a Nabi, is that you have to show that Dark Hashem is always Chachma, and that's what a Nabi represents. Without him, there wouldn't be any way to explain it. And a case in point is by Barad, where Moshe says that the stiff plant broke, but the soft plant bent, as if to say to Paro that this is a lesson about your obstinance. If you're stiff, you'll be broken, and if not, you know, you can succeed. So you see that he's talking, and you don't see where Hashem is telling Moshe to say this to Paro. So it seems like you're saying he's necessary in order to explain further what the physical phenomenon is on a level of comprehension.
Right.
My question, though, going with the psukim at the end of Devarim, is there a feeling he can make between the fact that your Aleph is regarding Mitzrayim and your Beis is regarding Bnei Yisrael?
Well, yes. I'm not sure if this is the chiluk you're talking about, but we're going to see in 1 minute. The Rambam is going to make that chiluk.
Okay.
I'm not sure if the chiluk that he's making is the one that you do. You have a specific idea about what the chiluk means?
No, I'm just reading the psukim.
About the why it broke it up that way. Yeah, the psukim are breaking up in terms of his role for Mitzrayim and his role for Bnei Yisrael. The one thought I had in terms of Yud Aleph and Yud Bet is that his role seems to be different for Mitzrayim and for Paro and then what it is for Bnei Yisrael. Right? And there's, for Paro and for Mitzrayim, it's their Nisim are there, and in a certain sense he instructs them so that they're able to see certain things, and they have choice in terms of Bechira what to do. It seems that when it comes to Bnei Yisrael, his role is greater than that, because it's not just to show them things and that they should have a bechira in terms of to accept or not to accept, but it seems like his role really is more to transform them in a much more significant way.
Because of the terms of Yachazaka and Mora Gadol?
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not sure. I have to think more about it, but I would tend to think that his role in terms of what he's doing for Bnei Yisrael instructing them and developing them is different. It's going to be greater in a certain sense. He's going to be showing them things that are different than what he's showing, you know, Mitzrayim and Paro.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so this is interesting. This is the Machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, on going back here for a minute in terms of Yud and Yud Aleph, right? Pasuk Yud says, V'lo kam navi od b'Yisrael, kim Moshe. Right, there'll never be another Navi like Moshe. And then it talks about his yidiyah, his understanding and his knowledge. And then it goes from there to the Otot and the Mofsim that he did, right, for Paro Mitzrayim, and then the Yachazaka and the Umor HaGadol. So just in terms of the Psukim in Yud and Yud Aleph, it's clearly differentiating Moshe from all other Nevi'im that are going to come, that are going to follow. Right? Now, the question is in what sense is he different from all other Nevi'im? So here too, the Ramban is very interesting. He brings down the Rambam's position, which I'm just going to read it for a minute, what the Rambam says, and then we'll see the Ramban's question on the Rambam. Okay. This is the Rambam in the way he describes it. He says, the general distinction between the wonders of Moshe and those of other Nevi'im is this. The wonders wrought by prophets or for them are witnessed by a few individuals. The wonders wrought by Elijah and Elisha, the king of Israel is therefore surprised and asks Gehazi to describe them to him, the miracles that were wrought by Elisha. Then he quotes, he says, the same is the case with the signs of every other prophet except for Moshe, our teacher. Scripture therefore declares that no prophet will ever like Moshe do signs publicly in the presence of friend and enemy, of his followers and his opponents. This is the meaning of the words, And there arose not a prophet since Israel like unto Moses. Two things are mentioned here, namely that there will never rise a prophet that will perceive as Moses perceived, or a prophet that will do as he did. And then it is pointed out that the signs were made in the presence of Paro, all his servants in the land, and the opponents of Moses. So In terms of how the Rambam's distinguishing, what's he basically saying is the difference between Moshe and all other Nevi'im that are going to follow, that Moshe performed his Nisim in front of all of Bnei Israel and in front of his adversaries, he says, while other Nevi'im in the future only perform their Nisim in front of small groups of people. The Ramban has one major question, but even before just getting to the Ramban's question, what's the basic, I mean, the most kind of obvious and basic question we would ask on the Rambam? What would you say is the most basic problem?
Why does that matter?
Right, right. I mean, why does it matter who sees the Nisim? And we're saying that Moshe reached this level of Nevuah that was greater in terms of his understanding, greater than all other Nevi'im that would come in the future. Now his Nisim are greater than all other Nevi'im in the future. Okay, now, how are his Nisim greater? So the Rambam says, because of who saw them. That doesn't seem to follow. In other words, it doesn't seem like that should make a difference, because that's not really part of the Nes, that's just an observer, right? That's extraneous to the Nes itself. I don't know, it would be like an example. It would be like if you were distinguishing between basketball players and you said, this one basketball player is able to do things that no other basketball player can do, right? And then you said, what's so great about him? And then you start talking about the people that come and watch. More people ever, you know, than ever before came to watch and play than other ones. But that's not really describing what he is able to do greater than other ones. It just happens to be, it's extraneous to that, right? It's just who was there, right? So that's just one question, is that it's not really so clear what the Rambam means. Why does it matter whether all of Bnei Israel was there or some of Bnei Israel, right? Or whether the adversaries were there or not. Why does that actually make the Nes itself greater? Okay, just one second, that's one question. And I just wanted to add the Ramban's question, which is another question, which is pretty obvious in terms of what difficulties with the Rambam, is that it seems like there are many cases in the Navi where it's not really going to be true, right? You're going to have cases where, first of all, Eliyahu and Ahav, right? I mean, he asks the Ramban from a few different places. He says, for example, he says, by Eliyahu, he says, they were Cholkim there. He says, by Har Carmel, Nevi'ei Baal, Arba Meos, V'chamishim, Nevi'ei Asher, Arba Meos, Amidah Shemesh Liyahushua Haya Be'emes, Lenei Kol Yisrael. I mean, you seem to have cases where Nevi'im were doing, there were Nisim that were taking place in front of all of Bnei Israel, or in front of, not just Bnei Israel, but in front of people that were the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, like by Eliyahu. So that's the Ramban's question he's asking. He's saying this just doesn't seem factually true about the Rambam's claim that Moshe's Nisim were different because they were done in front of, you know, everybody and in front of the adversaries. These other Nisim also seem to be done in front of other people as well. So there are really two questions on this, and just I'm bringing up is really what exactly altogether does the Rambam mean? What's he trying to say? I mean, what difference does it make who's watching them? And the second point is this idea about that, you know, how would we be able to answer the Ramban's question that in these cases, it seems that they were also Nisim that were being done in front of large groups of people and in front of the adversaries. Okay, so 2 points here.
So the same way that when God does the miracle and Moshe kind of explains it, preps them for it, gives them the idea, you see that when everyone sees it by Moshe, is it really that they see the idea that he's trying to give over and the preparation explanation that he's giving?
Okay, good. Very good. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
Can you explain the question of the Rambam?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, the Rambam is saying that Moshe's Nisim were unique, and then he's saying, why are they unique, right, as opposed to other Nevi'im? Because they were Nisim that were done in front of Klal Yisrael, and in cases, in certain situations, right, like Paro in front of his adversaries. And the Ramban is saying that it isn't true that Moshe is unique, because he's saying other Nevi'im also did Nisim in front of what would seem to be Klal Yisrael, or most of Klal Yisrael, and also in front of people that were adversaries, like Ahav, by Har Carmel. So there also you have that. That's good?
And trying to understand what
So that's right. So my question is how would we understand the Rambam? I mean, how would we defend the Rambam? First of all, how would we understand what's the Rambam trying to say in terms of what made Moshe's Nisim greater? Right? How would we understand? And also, how would we answer back that question that the Ramban is asking? Right? How could we answer that question back? I mean, what about all of these other cases where it seems like they were also Nisim that were being done in front of large groups of people? What's that?
Moshe was the one who performed them, God was.
Yes.
You're saying, why is there a distinction between the ones that Moshe did and the ones that other Nubian did?
Well, that's, I mean, why is there a distinction?
So what is the distinction?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The Rambam is saying that the distinction is who they were done in front of, that they were done in front of so many people.
Oh.
He's distinguishing, he's saying that they were done in front of large groups of people as opposed to smaller groups. Yeah.
Maybe this is more of a challenge when nations was sort of this formative country, like all the leader Indians, they already had the Torah, and it might have been easier to convince them that also since Moshe's being was external to the miracle, so it makes sense that like how great a young man he is also judged by sin, which is external.
Right. But so again, so but what's the first part? You mean you're saying that what was greater about that in the beginning of the formation of the nation, that what?
That he was able to convince them that
I mean, you're saying it was greater because of their stage at that point.
Yeah.
So no, so that's a good point, right? But that's just what I said. That's not what the Rambam is saying, though. He's not saying it has to do with the stage in which Bnei Israel was at. He's saying that it has to do with how many people were watching, whether it was all of Bnei Israel or only groups.
And so the guns like new music was produced, and so the people who are watching aren't just like an accidental part of the nation. They're they're like a fundamental part of there being a nation.
Right.
Because like you can't have a nation without observers.
Correct. Right. So exactly. In other words, perhaps we can take the first idea that we were developing before and try to use that to carry it over to understand what the Rambam's point is, that if we understand that the role of the Nisim, right, in Moshe Rabbeinu's case, was Moshe Rabbeinu was the teacher and he was Melamed and he was showing people ideas about Hashgachas Hashem, and he was doing that through the Nisim, it was essential, it was imperative that the Nisim would be done in front of everybody. Right? Why? Because why not? Meaning the more people should be there, everybody should see it. Since the whole role of the Nais was to educate and to teach, then it demanded that everybody should be there. Even adversaries could be there. Meaning, in other words, the point is that it's not limited to Klai Yisrael. It could be even beyond Klai Yisrael. But certainly all of Klai Yisrael should be there. Because the Nisim are functioning fundamentally to be vehicles for teaching. In these other cases, I would like to suggest that that wasn't the primary role of the Nisim. I'm not saying that there weren't things that could be learned from the Nisim, but the primary role or the primary objective of Nisim that followed at later points wasn't to teach ideas about Hashgachas Hashem. So I guess you could ask a question. You'll say, what about Baal and Nibe Baal, right? Wasn't that coming to teach certain things about Hashgachas Hashem? I would think not in the same way, right? Meaning, at that point, Bnei Israel is worshipping Avodah Zarah, which altogether itself is an aberration from the system and from the way they should be behaving. And the point was to deal with the people at that time. This was necessary to show them, okay, this is wrong. But that's different than saying this is an idea in terms of Hashgachas Hashem that needs to be taught and known to everybody, and everybody has to understand it. So perhaps what we could say is, to answer both questions, is that first, since Moshe's role was to be the teacher and the educator and to show people Hashgachas Hashem through the Nisim, it was imperative that they would be done for everybody. Everybody had to see them. The Rambam's point that the people that were there mattered is basically a way of saying that since they were ways of teaching, everybody had to be there. Right? But in terms of Nisim that would follow later, that wasn't their primary role. Right? Now we could also try to answer the Ramban's question, because the Ramban's saying that there were cases where people, let's say, most of Klal Yisrael were aware, or Klal Yisrael knew about it. Or you'll say, for example, Achav knew about it. But what we would say there is that that's true, and the Rambam knows that. But the Rambam's point is that wasn't the objective of the Nes. The objective of the Nes wasn't that it should be done for Achav, or that the objective of the Nes was to be done to teach everybody something. The Nes had to be done for a specific circumstance, a specific situation that was happening at that time that was more circumstantial in nature. Things could be learned from it, but that wasn't the primary goal of it, was to teach Hashgachas Hashem. So what the Rambam's point is that everybody had to be there, is essentially everybody had to be there. In the cases that the Ramban is saying that came about later in other times, it could be other people, you know, people knew about it, or it could be Klal Yisrael knew about it, but the point is that wasn't the objective of the Nes for them to know about it. It was only accidental to the Nes that they were there and that they knew about it.
That's really like the way you're explaining the Brahman on Moshe. It's not really talking about Moshe's greatness, but it's more talking about just the circumstance. That Moshe just, there won't be another time like Moshe just because there was that circumstance.
According to the Rambam?
Yeah.
There will never be another Navi like him.
Because we don't need to teach these ideas.
No, that's true. First, there'll never be another Navi like him because there'll never be anyone who will have his understanding. Right? In other words, there'll never be an individual who will have his understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of his understanding and of his Hashgacha. That's the first thing that the Pasuk is saying. But as a result of that, that he was that individual who had that understanding, he was also able to now perform Nisim that were a vehicle of teaching and explaining and expressing that understanding. That was only him that was able to do that. So because he had that level of understanding, the Nisim functioned in that way, right? Part of that is that they should be done for everybody because that's what they were functioning for.
But it only could happen because it's Moshe's level.
Only could, right. Nisim could only be used in that way, it would seem, because of the level of individual that he was, what he understood.
Just on that, I think one sort of is on tape or something on that point. It's like based on Moshe's knowledge, since he has the highest level of Yedias Hashem, so he was like the greatest Anav. It's like part of him being able to teach people that, like, you know, his Yatsaru, his Yeshua Hashem, or Yamsuf, or all the Makos, was that they shouldn't attribute it to him as a magic man, they should attribute it to God doing the miracle himself. And like anybody wants to have any level of God or ego. Like, it's impossible, even though the Nevi'im, they weren't his level of humility. So there's an element where people attach an element of the Nes to the Nevi'im themselves. So only Moshe was, because of his utmost humility, based on his Yedias Hashem, was able to really teach the ideas of Nisim Hashgachas Hashem to the fullest degree, because his own personality didn't get involved undermining the message.
Right.
So that'll help why.
Right. That's also true, right? I mean, that goes hand in hand with his...
That's not right. That's his knowledge.
His level of understanding and who he was as a person.
Right.
That he was the only person who was fit for that task.
Like to convey that message without his personality being involved and affecting the story.
Right.
I'm just wondering if this is consistent or not with the Rambam that you mentioned before in Yisodei HaTorah, where he says that the mitzvos that, under the Maimon HaSadeh, I'm sorry, the Nisim that Moshe performed were all the Torah.
Right.
Does that sound not consistent?
Right, so I was thinking about that Rambam. I mean, the Rambam's confusing on a couple of different levels, right? I mean, first of all, he doesn't speak about the Nisim that were done in Mitzrayim, right? He starts off... What's that? He starts off with Kriyas Yamsuf, right? So that's the right. So there he starts off with Kriyas Yamsuf, And then he, and then what's the next one? And then he speaks about
Korah.
What's that? Korah, right?
Just the real,
right? Mun, right? And Korah, right? He gives it. He gives different ones. I don't know. It's a good. It's a good question. I mean, I was thinking about what exactly. I mean, what the Rambam. But I mean, part of the thing with, there is that he's saying that none of those nisim were meant to validate him. Right? Meaning he's excluding, because that's what he's saying there. He's saying Har Sinai was the only one that validated Moshe as the Navi. None of those other Nisim were there to validate him. But he says they were done lefi tzorech. Right? So he says it's true. He says they needed this, so that's why they were done. But, so I mean, you're asking a question. You mean you're saying that would seem to imply that the Nisim weren't really there to teach ideas of Hashkachas Hashem. They were done because of.
I mean, that's like the lashon he uses. It's
right.
Like, the Mitzvah had to be killed.
What's that?
It's not to validate.
It's not to validate.
But Tzorah may have been each idea. So it's like the explicit Tzorah in the Zion.
Right. But I think the Rambam does say that Tzorah is the physical thing. Like they needed to drown the Mitzrim.
In those cases. Right. For the money in the Zion, and the Tzorah, you're right, you're right. He doesn't mention the ones in the Zion. It's interesting why he doesn't, but he doesn't.
He doesn't mention the ones in Mitzrim.
Tzorah in the Zion
was not.
No,
she's Osasius Balparakinich Badizmer. The Manish was Osasius. To teach these things. From there, it's clear.
And you could ask why Ram skips over those, but that is the Tzorah over there, and it's not against what he's saying. It's not to validate Moshe, but to teach these ideas. And only Moshe would be the appropriate vehicle to teach those ideas.
Right. I guess just the question is does it, at some point does it change? Meaning, is Mon also part of that, or is that for a different thing? At one point, is it changing, or at some point? But
well, that's like on the level, so in order to show that that Hashem is elegant and not Ba. That's similar to the design type of thing.
See, I don't know that I mean, my sense was is that what he's saying by Eliyahu in those cases is that because of their level and where they were at, they needed to be, they needed certain instruction given that they were where they were at. It's not the same thing as saying that this is an idea purely about Hashgachas Hashem that's of eternal validity and significance that should be eternalized. Given that they're in a situation of Avodah Zarah, so now how do you refute them given that that's what they're doing? Aziva Sachay, that type of thing, right. That's not the same thing as saying that there's a concept of Hashkacha that should be translated, should be reflected in the Nes.
Are you saying most of them were like one out of the cases of the other?
Well, that's, I'm saying definitely there were a group that were not, right? Now, does that mean all of them are? I'm not sure. And does it change at some point? I'm not sure. Look, but even by the water, where you see the hitting of the rock, even there it seems like there's an educational and there's an element of teaching them and explaining to them. I mean, there they need the water, right? But the whole thing there was how he did it was problematic because the whole thing there was that there was a certain limudim there that he was supposed to be showing them. So, you know, I'm not sure if it's all of them, but it seems certainly, I mean, the majority of them have that aspect of it. Right. That's a hard Rambam. Hard to understand what he means by that. But again, like I'm saying,
Korah, I mean, Korah, it's, you know, it's Moshe said it's to show that it got sent.
Right.
Okay. The Rambam's saying that he had to kill somebody, so it's a very difficult Rambam.
Right.
Right.
I mean, you're right, that one specifically, because he says there it's to validate me.
It says open.
And the Rambam's saying it wasn't to validate, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's.
Can you explain that? Is there a point there?
Well, I think in the way it's described here, in the way he writes it here, the Ramban brings both down the points of the adversaries. I'm not sure that the main point is the adversaries. The Ramban says two things: adversaries and all of Klal Yisrael. Is the main thing all of Klal Yisrael, right, or is the main thing the adversaries, or how do they both relate? It seems to me that the main thing is all of Klal Yisrael should perceive it, and the adversaries is a secondary element to it. Because he says the wonders were there in the cases later, he's saying they were only by a few individuals, right? And then he says, but by Moshe, it was for all of Klal Yisrael, and friend and even enemy. So, I mean, what I'm just saying is that I think the main point is the idea that all of Klal Yisrael had to see it.
The universal limud.
Universal limud, so everybody has to see it, but not, you're right, non-Jews as well.
Doesn't
Because it's a universal.
Everybody
should know about them. Right.
Instruction of Moshe Rabbeinu when he was tasked with setting up the human Israelites, it was the setting up the cloth. The ideas that he had introduced in order to establish Klal Yisrael are fundamentally that type of instruction is requires a much higher level of an idea than. Let's say, perhaps you could say it was more restorative in nature, and that's basically the main task was to restore that which previously existed in terms of the level of the cloth.
Right.
So there you could say there's really no difference, between the two types of nisim, from the perspective of the fact that they were both to teach ideas of Shabbat Hashem, whatever you want to say, but the fundamental difference is that whereas by Eliyahu was really like in this was a matter of restoring that previously established set of ideas that existed, but by most people, he was introducing them for the first time. So that really requires a higher level of.
Right. I mean, you're saying is that it's kind of back, it's almost to support what Moshe's doing. Right? That the Nisim later at that point are coming to support what he's doing.
Well, there's always.
Or supporting ideas that were already established. Right?
I'm saying
by Eliyahu. His niece them are done in a way that they're always supportive.
Yeah.
They're not really introducing a new point.
Right.
Which is why they don't have to be done in front of everybody, but.
Right. It's a little more accidental in terms of, but.
Right. I hear the point. It seems that the pasuk about lo kam, and there's Navi Yod to Moshe saying that he had some, because of his level of understanding, he was different than all other Nevi'im, that they didn't have that level of understanding. So that what they were doing in their Nisim was different because they just didn't have the understanding that Moshe had.
Right.
Are you saying that Moshe's, the goal of the Nisim that Moshe performed was to teach everyone at the end of the Nisim?
Right. Again, I wouldn't say that it can't. It just seems to be that I would say that wasn't what they were doing, right? That they did not have this level of understanding, and therefore that wasn't really their role when they were doing Nisim, was to teach in the way that he was teaching.
Right. Now my follow-up question is, did Moshe have to did they
just have to
actually get across? Do they have to get the ideas, or just the goal was to give up the ideas?
By
Ben
Israel? Everyone. Well, right, but I'm saying it seems like they did, meaning that's what the pasuk is showing you, that he was successful in producing these things. Yad Hazaka, Mora Gadol.
But they didn't work with Paro. I mean, the average, that didn't work. It took 10 others, and he's still in there.
Right. But that's what the Torah is saying, is that he was removed from. Right. Well, that's a good question. Do we know? Meaning the people that are chasing them, we know, right? Do we know what the effect was overall on the Egyptian society? Were there people? There were people, you see, right? Isn't there? There were right there. But isn't there psukim at some point that show that by. That they were already, there was a certain fear in Yirah Hashem, that they were, right? They were. There were some already, so it seems that there wasn't. There were.
Rabbi?
So you're saying
So this is what you're supposed to teach this Ben Chacham, you're supposed to bring out the ideas?
So, okay, you mean about the Ben Chacham?
Yeah,
so I just wanted to just one point, I mean, and just you know, again, yeah, to come back to that point, is that the great, because the question about what you teach the Ben Chacham, so I just thought it was interesting. I mean, I think this is, it's a different answer, but in the Harei Kedem, so the Rav also, he has that question. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu is missing from the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he says, but yet the Rambam has it by the Chacham that you're teaching him about Moshe's role. So, right, but yet in the Haggadah, he's not there, right? He quotes the Medrash in Shir HaShirim that we look, right, as you look for Moshe, and you couldn't find him. That the, he says that, right, Bakashti Yeshava Nafshi Bakashti Velo Masosiv. So he says, what does it mean? I searched for him, I looked for him, who I loved, and I couldn't find him. That I'm looking for Moshe Rabbeinu, and I don't find him at the Seder, in terms of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it seems, on the one hand, he seems that on the Haggadah, right, in the Sipur, we don't have Moshe. But yet the Rambam is saying that the Chacham receives instruction about Moshe Rabbeinu's role. So I just, the way it seems that he's answering that question is he says that the Sipur and the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Haggadah, is in terms of Yetzias Mitzrayim and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out and removed us. What you're teaching the Chacham is really about Har Sinai. Okay, meaning he says that the tshuva to the Ben Chacham, where you're being Maskir Moshe Rabbeinu, is because you're going beyond Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and you're showing him how the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim was ultimately for the goal of Ta'avdun Es Hashem Elokim Al HaRazeh, that was the Iker Tachlis of the Yetziah. Bavur Zeh Asa Hashem Li Bavur Shakai Mitzvosav. So that's why he's saying you're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu's role, because you're saying his role was in terms of Matan Torah and bringing us towards Matan Torah. So I was just thinking, according to what we're saying, could offer a different possibility, is that not talking in terms of Matan Torah Har Sinai, but just in terms of the Nisim themselves, meaning the way the Rambam says it, it sounds like he's saying in the tshuva that you give to the Chacham, he's saying that you tell him about the Nisim Shinasu Lanu Al Yedei Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't sound like he's talking about Har Sinai and that the purpose of the Nisim was in Har Sinai. It sounds like you're talking about actually Moshe's role in the Nisim, right? In the ones themselves, in what took place in Mitzrayim. So what I would like to just suggest in terms of what we were saying is that this is not the type of thing that can be explained just to every person and every individual, but it's a difficult idea, because already the question here, like what we're discussing tonight, is on the one hand we're saying that the Nisim are only a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the sense that it's the change in nature, what's taking place in the world, the physical phenomenon, that's only directed as a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the role of Moshe is in terms of what to do with that material, how to effectuate the perception, what the people are perceiving when they're seeing that. That's what Moshe's role is. So already you have to be a Chacham to be able to appreciate that there's a, you know, that the Nais has a goal, and that there was towards a greater purpose, and that just simply the physical event itself wasn't the end, but it was a means to a greater thing. So it could be that that's what the Rambam means, is that for a son who's not a Chacham, you teach him and you instruct him about Nisim, just in terms of the physical events, that he should know that we received Geula and Hashem was podas from those events. But for a Chacham, then you're trying to show him this either idea of what the real goal is, in the sense of what the meaning was behind the Nisim. And that's where Moshe comes in. That's not for everybody. Right. Well, right. Right. We're not expected to do what he did. Right. You're asking, how was he able to take ordinary homonam and give them and raise them to the level that he did?
My question is that a unique point in history where the homonam can appreciate ideas on a deep level, whereas later on you get only a fucking cat?
I don't know, but the one thing I had just one one thought about it, about what you're saying, you know, when I was thinking about this a little bit, is that, you know, you wonder, is that part of what happened with the Nisim and his instruction? If you didn't have the Nisim and you just had the instruction and the teaching, would that have effectuated and developed, you know, the change and developed the people? So it's a combination, you know what I'm saying, in terms of the events that they saw. I mean, your question is how did he take Hamon Am in that situation and raise them and develop them in the way that he did, right? But I would just say is it part of that's what the Nisim are, or you know, I mean, the Nisim had an effect on them with his instruction and his explanation and his teaching. It's the combination, right?
Maybe you also mean that the Nisan de Moshe Rabbeinu that you can't lean but of the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching them.
Right.
Not just that they were.
That there were. Moshe,
but to.
You're showing him that also.
You have to engage in that lean and whatever the different ideas which are to be attained from the Nisan. Like what Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching the people were ideas that you can gain from the Nisan, maybe means to try to analyze the Nisan on a deeper level.
Right, but if you're just taking the pshat of the words, he's saying, right, it's that you're showing him that Nisim were done ayyadei Moshe, right? Like, because according to what you're saying, you could say, I don't have to talk about Moshe. I could just say, okay, what was the meaning of Dam? What was the meaning of Sfardeya? Look at all these things we learned from these things, right? He's not saying that, right? He's saying, no, I'm showing him that Moshe was the cause of these Nisim.
Right.
So what does that mean to show him?
Say, what's the point of saying? Telling your son Ben Fatah, like, by the way, the Nisim were done as Moshe as the vehicle who was made for them for the people. Like, okay, so I know that. What's the takeaway? It's not that that is the beginning of it.
Right.
The root of further, you know.
Right. No, that, no, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I mean, you're saying.
The science, what you're saying, I'm not just going to
say it. Right. Right. Just to teach him about Moshe's role, you're saying for what purpose?
For what purpose? Right. But if it's. That opens up a new, whole new program.
Right.
Level, you know?
Right.
You were saying the purpose is to understand the Nisim and why you need the first part, the emotion.
Well, that's what opens up that door. Having Moshe Rabbeinu is the idea that brings to mind that idea of the Nisim and the Torah, something that we've conscious of. That is the beginning of
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.